I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The heart of the gospel is the forgiveness of sins. God's perfect plan of salvation is that God forgives us and we then forgive each other and bring us into a full state of reconciliation and harmony. Repentance is the renewal process by which we realize the need for change, accept God's pardoning grace, and then continue our lives in new levels of harmony with God and with each other. Without this repentance, we would continue on paths of ultimate self-destruction. Reset the heart. The word heart is used 884 times in the Bible, and of those, 31 have to do with how we set our heart. God promises to replace our hearts of stone with hearts of flesh. The psalmist prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." And Jesus taught that where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. He had parables about the importance of forgiveness from the heart. He also taught that sin comes from what is in a person's heart. Jesus posed a question in this passage to his disciples. Those experiences that are tragic and horrible, do they happen to people that are worse sinners than everybody else? Does that mean that if something bad happens in your life, something more wrong with you than anybody else? Suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all other Galileans because they suffered such things. Are these 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? And his answer was clear and concise. No. But, he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. When Jesus began his preaching, his first message was, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That has been echoed throughout all of his teachings, that of the apostles, that of the church from that time till this. And except that you repent, this repentance is a continuing repentance, not like where that you just one time say, well, yeah, I've done wrong, and then that's it. It is a continuation. It's not once, it's not twice, it's constantly. A daily self-examination to see what changes need to continue to be made in our lives. Constant renewal going on in our hearts. Just like when we look out the window today and we see the plants stirring up to life again, the renewal that is going on, that kind of renewal that is continually going on in our lives where new things are growing, new things are happening. And he spoke to all, he spoke about all, but he was speaking to all in this passage. You know, when a lot of times when we think about repentance and who needs to repent, we think about someone else. And especially amongst the religious people, we think about people that are not religious or people that are not a Christian or who don't believe. But that isn't who Jesus was talking to in this passage. He was not talking to people that didn't believe in him. He was talking to people that believed in him the most. His own disciples, the ones who would take the leadership of the church in that generation, just like he speaks then to us, who are the believers, the followers of Christ, who are taking the leadership of the Church of Jesus Christ in our generation. Speaks to them and to all. That philosophy is echoed in the words of St. Paul to the Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. St. John even went so far to say, whosoever says that they have no sin is a liar. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, because you say you have no sin, you will perish in your sin. Peter said that it is not God's will that any should perish. And in John 3:16, God sent a Savior so that whosoever would believe in him would not perish. God would do anything to keep us from perishing. Then we have this parable of the tree that did not bear fruit. And just because it did not bear fruit yet doesn't mean it wouldn't. We all need a little TLC to come to our potential in God, don't we? We just can't do that on our own any more than that tree could do it on its own. We need to be helped along and to be nurtured and to nurture each other. Forgiveness gives a person another chance the same way the tree was given another chance. Not just one, but remember when Peter asked, how many times should I forgive somebody that has done me wrong? Seven times? And Jesus said, try starting with seven times 70. It's a continuous life of forgiveness, of receiving and giving forgiveness that we're a part of when we're a part of the life of Christ. God's preference is that eventually we would all bear good fruit. Yesterday I saw a church sign that said, there is nothing you could confess that could make me love you less. Confession is our opportunity to face ourselves honestly in the presence of God. The good, the bad, everything in between. In the traditional sense of a sacramental confession, a good confession is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. A good confession is complete, soul-searching, and acknowledges where our sin is in our lives, the changes that need to be made in what we have done and in what we have left undone. Confession is our opportunity to come before the great white throne judgment early. You recall the imagery in the book of Revelation where John, in his vision, he saw this great white throne, him that sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And he said, and I saw all the dead, great and small, stand before God. And the books were opened, and they were judged according to the things that were written in the books. The advantage of coming early to the great white throne judgment is that we can meet now with the eternal judge of our souls instead of waiting till then. And we can come early, we can come often, and we can come privately in our hearts before the throne of grace. And that throne of judgment then becomes that throne of grace and forgiveness as we are able to take counsel with the wonderful counselor regarding the state of our own soul. That's better than having a surprises on the day of judgment, amen? We don't want that. We don't want to come embarrassed and surprised on the day of judgment. But we don't have to, because today is the day. We are under the judgment of God already anyways. We all stand under the judgment. Our church, our family, our friends, our community, our nation, our world stands under the judgment of God constantly. The invitation is to face ourselves honestly in that presence that already knows us better than we know ourselves. To examine ourselves. And St. John noted that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can trust God with our very innermost secrets because He already knows them and has demonstrated that He loves us anyway. The apostle wrote, this is how we know that God loves us, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're invited to a daily examining of our conscience and not to let the sleep fall on our eyes with sin in our hearts that we haven't faced up to. James, in talking about anointing with oil and dealing with the sick and prayer and all that he was talking about, he put it this way, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Confession is linked to our healing, our salvation, the effectiveness of our prayers for ourselves and for each other. We're encouraged by the Bible and by the church to have someone with whom we can talk confidentially about our shortcomings. Whether that becomes a formal process or informal, it's always sacramental in nature. When we sit down with God and or a friend and sit there and discuss the struggles and challenges that we're facing. So we always need to be ready, each of us, to assure each other of God's continuing love and forgiveness and acceptance. We need to always be encouraging each other on the heavenly pathway. We need to pray for each other for forgiveness and reconciliation, for healing and renewal. The psalmist wrote, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Our confession becomes a part of our sacrifice that we offer up to the Lord before his throne. To have our heart broken and take our heart and break it the way that bread is broken, where we break the bread and open it up and give it over to the Lord and to each other, humbly, contritely. Contrition is to have remorse and regret for what is wrong, for what that sin of commission or omission, for what we're doing that is wrong, or for what we are not doing that we should be doing. We need to feel it in our hearts, both as a regret and as a desire to do what is right and to make the improvements. We have the authority to forgive. Jesus and the Pharisees had a little roundabout on this subject because Jesus went around telling people that their sins were forgiven. And the Pharisees didn't like it. They said, "Who has the authority to forgive sins except God only?" And but every time they did, then he would just stand there right in front of them and do it again. Forgive somebody, not hold their sin against them. After the resurrection, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Those whose sins you forgive are forgiven. The kind of forgiveness that God offers us and promises is to separate us from our sins as far as the east is from the west, to bury them in the deepest sea, never to be remembered against us again. We are channels of that kind of forgiveness. In order to continue receiving the forgiveness, we also have to keep giving forgiveness the way that we are receiving it. In giving the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." But then after the end of the prayer, after he gave that, then he made this statement, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So we're expected to forgive, amen? We have got not only the authority, but the expectation. That other part on the resurrection, after he breathed on them, said, "Whosoever sins you forgive are forgiven." He also said, "Whosoever sins you do not forgive are not forgiven." And we might have the authority to choose whether we forgive or not. But if we choose not to forgive, then neither are our sins forgiven. Forgiveness is the way that we find release for ourselves from the bondage to someone who has harmed us. We offer forgiveness to others as part of our sacrifice to God. In honor of the sacrifice that Christ made for us and for our forgiveness, we find completion of that repentance in renewal. As we come to life, there's a song, "There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine." To the lady that was caught in sin and they were going to stone her, and Jesus said, "Who is without sin, cast the first stone." They all left. And he said, "Who are your accusers?" And she said, "There are none." And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Renewal that comes through confession and forgiveness and repentance means that we are being changed, transformed from the inside out, from the heart. Charles Wesley wrote that beautiful hymn, "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling." And it concludes by saying, "Changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before him, lost in wonder, love, and praise." Commitment completes that repentance. We make the decision we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to move in the direction that leads to life. We're heading toward the heaven. We're going to make the adjustments and improvements each day that bring our life into a greater consistency with the path that we're walking on as we live the life of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, living the spiritual life. There's an ancient invitation that came through the lips of the prophet Isaiah from God Almighty. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In a moment we will partake together of the sacrament of Holy Communion. One of the hallmarks of the liturgy is that we repeat the words that Jesus Christ himself used in instituting this sacrament. This is my blood, which is shed for you and for many, so that sins can be forgiven. Communion is our invitation to join Jesus in the spiritual state in which by faith we're growing into a complete harmony with God and with each other. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.